Welcome to the world's premier Black Crowes podcast. State of America. Hosted by two of the band's most dedicated fans, David Hudson and Ian Rice. And now, let's get the show on the road.
All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the State of America podcast. I am one of your hosts, Ian Rice, and with me, as always, Mr. David Hudson. David, how are you, sir?
Even better now, Ian, that I get to see your beautiful face with that big, bushy head of hair you got.
Flattery will get you everywhere, sir, and you know that.
Bob Rice handed you down a great set of hair.
He did.
Let's throw out some well wishes to our guy, Bob Rice.
Yes, a little under the weather lately, but actually I just spoke to him earlier and was very pleased to tell him that Ronnie Wood sat in with the boys at the Greek recently because my father is a consummate Rolling Stones fan, so he was pleased to hear that.
Man, I tell you what, that has to be a top five sit-in I've seen for them performance-wise. Ron Wood nailed it. The best thing about it was, did you see the look on everybody? I've seen several different videos and Nico, Sven, Rich, Chris, everybody is just smiling. Like Rich smiled during the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, they were very pleased to do that. And you know, it's nice to see moments like that. Those are unique moments that are very special.
If you go and listen to the videos, the crowd the intensity from the crowd is through the entire song.
Yeah, it was a big deal. And they, despite what internet comments might have led you to believe, it actually was a very good version of that song. I thought Chris nailed the vocal on that.
I think the problem on all the recordings is he's low in the mix, and he wasn't that low in person, I guarantee it.
No, definitely not.
And how about Ronnie having to tell him to speed up a couple of times?
Yeah, I don't, and they didn't seem like they were going particularly slow to me, but I guess it wasn't up to Ronnie's speed, you know?
Oh, Rich wasn't in control on that one.
Yeah, that was Ronnie's show right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ron Wood. I'm sure Rich would say it's Ron Wood. He can direct the band all he wants to.
Yeah, well, I mean, if anybody's going to tell you how fast or slow that song should be played, it's the guy who wrote it, right?
Here's the thing I think that's fascinating about Ronnie Wood. In my opinion, and this could be wrong, I'm not a musician, as it gets pointed out every now and then, I don't think he ever truly gets cut loose in the Stones the way he was in the Faces. Do you?
No, I always think that when I see him doing Faces tunes, and especially that sit in, I say to myself, like, he's very underutilized in the Stones. But then again, him and Keith both talk about how they kind of play off of each other, in respect that they're playing these weird chord patterns that one's playing like half of it and the other one's playing the other half of it. And they have a really weird musical language that's unique to them. So,
and it seems to me with them live, it's kind of very loose.
It is loose, but how loose can they be after this time on some of those songs? They played them.
Oh, but I mean, like on Stay With Me, I mean, Ronnie Wood was all on top of it.
You have to remember too, in the Faces, Ronnie Wood was the guitar player. So, mm-hmm. You know, he's handling everything. Whereas in the Stones, you know, it's him and Keith, you know, playing off each other. He in the Stones, to me, Ronnie always does mostly like colorations to me, you know, when you see him play live.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that. I tell you what, though, one of my favorite performances by them, and this may be one of those things that I pick out and enjoy and other people don't, his solo on Start Me Up when they performed on MTV Video Awards during the Voodoo Lounge Tour. I've never heard him play it that way twice. There was something about it, his note bends and how long he held them and stuff, I thought was really cool.
I have to check that out. I mean, I remember the performance, but I don't remember, you know, the specifics offhand. It's been a while since I've seen it.
It's crazy to think in 1994, they were younger as a band than the Black Crowes are now.
Isn't that weird? I mean, you know, it kind of escapes your memory if you don't focus on it, but 94 is 30 years ago. You know, it's crazy.
Trust me, I know. It's when I graduated high school. I'm going to my reunion Saturday night.
Yeah, but at the time they were saying like, oh, the Stones are old. They're going to be packing it in soon, you know, and that's 30 years ago. And here they are, you know, I mean, granted. Well,
to be fair, they were the first band that made it to that territory.
It is true.
Of that magnitude.
To me now, it's more like it's nice to see him out and keep going. And, you know, it's definitely not for the money.
Well, and speaking of bands long in the tooth, the Aerosmith tour is back on. it looks like the Crows are going to be tied up with them for a while. Couple of things. One, I sure hope there's some headlining shows in between, and I don't want to have to wait to next spring for more solo Crow shows. Does that make me a selfish fan?
No, it's because now they're underway with Happiness Badges. It's like, it was okay at the time they first announced it and we're going to do it. It's like, all right, they're going to do this and then we'll get on to other things. But now they're in the midst of this new record, and to kind of cut that off and go back to the Aerosmith tour, you know, as a fan, I'd rather see straight Black Crow shows, not an opening slot. But I, that being said, I get it. They're contractually obligated to that tour probably. And that's a big tour. And, you know, you do, I would imagine you'd want to be a part of the last Aerosmith tour, you know?
Let's be honest, though. Do you think that Aerosmith tour goes all the way through?
I think there's so much financially riding on it. They're probably pushing Steven Tyler to get back into the saddle, no pun intended, quickly. You know what I mean? And I don't necessarily know if he's up for it.
Before they go on a permanent vacation?
Oh, dear. See, mine was unintentional. You thought that out. You knew what you were doing, and you said
No, I mean, I'm happy for him, but I mean, just being selfishly, I want to see him again. So I may try to make the Nashville one. I doubt we'll be able to make it a big meetup like last time, because I don't know how many people are going to be going to it. But I will say this, even some fans that I've talked to that had concerns about the album and maybe weren't the biggest fan of it, when they've seen it live, they admit that it comes across much better live to them.
Yeah, I mean, I try to stay away from social media back and forth, and but I've gotten involved in a couple of conversations, and I try to keep it like legitimately. If somebody says something that I don't either agree with or understand, I legitimately want to understand their point of view. I'm not trying to argue with anybody. It's hard to get that when you're writing it down as opposed to saying it. But I just don't, you know, a lot of people's complaints with what's going on, I don't understand. You know, I when people tell me, oh, you know, it's not the same Black Crowes. Well, no, it's not. But that doesn't mean that that's a bad thing. You know what I mean? Things move along and they mutate and evolve and become different things over the course of 30, 35 years. And, you know, if you don't like the record or something like that, then I get that. That's legitimate. You know, the music is subjective. If you don't like what you're hearing, then that's okay. But the general consensus is a lot of these folks communicate it almost as if you do like the record, you're like, you're an ass, or you're not a real fan of the band. I don't get that. That never resonates with me, right?
No. I mean, I've said before, I kind of understand where people are coming from on that. I think it's because the music meant something to them. And so I think that's why they're passionate. Like I said, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. That means the music has moved them. The album has grown on me. I know upon initial review, I gave it a 3.5. I'd have to bump it up to a 3.75 now.
It's great. I really like the material. You know, people say, oh, you know, you're drinking the Kool-Aid and this and that. No, I listened to the record and I like it. And I realized, I went to the, you know, my local record shop, and I don't know if it's coincidental or not, but the one of the guys that runs the place, you know, that I've spoken to over the years, is a big Black Crowes guy. He was a big CRB guy too. So, you know, we have a lot to talk about. And every time I'm in the store, something Black Crowes ends up being played in the store after I've been in there for about 15 minutes. So I don't know if it's for my benefit or not, but the last couple of times I've gone there, they played Happiness Bastards. And the other day when I was in there, I realized subconsciously, I know every lyric to that record. Like, you know, I'm sitting there like singing the songs as I'm listening, you know, leafing through records. So obviously, you know, it resonates with me in a good way. And I don't understand how that's a bad thing.
No, like I said, I like it. I'll defend it. And it's growing on me. But you know this as well as I do. I have people accuse me of being a Kool-Aid drinker, and I have people accusing me of being too critical. So I guess that means I'm calling it down the middle and making everybody a little upset, Ian.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, there's people that I legitimately respect and like talking to, and, you know, over doing this podcast, have interacted with him over the years. There was one gentleman, when we were discussing certain aspects of the band, was saying that the Black Crowes did change the meaning of what the Black Crowes are, because when they started, it was essentially, you know, these four key members, and now it's just all about Chris and Rich. But it's the other two key members you're referring to left the band. So what are you supposed to do in that situation? You know what I mean? What are the Robinson brothers supposed to do if they want to carry on? Do you just not perform. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't add up for me. That argument.
It's hard for me to think you can go see them live and not be excited about Nico being in the band.
Yes.
And everybody loves Sven. And I'm telling you, in my non-musical opinion, based on how things sound and the feeling I got from it, Cully is doing a really, really good job on drums. And he beats them like they insulted his mother. And of course, those backup singers are amazing. Did you hear them harmonize on Stern a cappella with Chris?
Yeah, no, they're great. I mean, I not to detract from them at all. If anything, the people that I miss being in this band are Charity and Mona. Like, I wish they were there. You know, like, that's such a minor aspect of it.
But who's to say they would come back?
Exactly. I mean, but granted, when we spoke to them, both of them, they both had very nice things to say about their time in the band.
Yeah, they loved it. They had a blast. I will say that the version of the Black Crowes that we've got now from the reunion is by far the best one.
I think it's the one that's more like a cohesive unit, if you ask my opinion.
Well, if you look, you can tell that Rich trusts Nico, and everybody in the band trusts Sven.
Anybody that's listened to even just our episode with Nico can understand how into the music he is, how much he appreciates the music, what a opportunity like this means to him. You know, I mean, that's a big deal. And I want to see somebody performing that's that into it, you know?
Right. So we got a meetup for the Chicago show at Fat Cats.
Fat Cats, just before the Aragon Ballroom show on April 19th. And that is being spearheaded by our own producer, Jason, and our good buddy, Sean Hillman. These guys put a lot of work into this. So definitely show up if you want to have a good time. And David set the bar high with his Nashville meetup. So,
if you follow us on social media, I've posted pictures of some of the stuff that Jason's given away. It's not all of it by far. It's a lot. Some one of a kind unique items that will be only available to those that attend the giveaway. All right. I do want to say that the new Pearl Jam album, Dark Matter, is coming out. And in conjunction with our buddies over at the Pearl Jam podcast, State of Levin Pod, we are going to give away a vinyl copy of the new album on social media, probably on Twitter. So go follow us on Twitter at State of America. We're going to give it away with those guys. They gave away the new Crowes album to help us. And so we're going to help them. Great podcast, but they're even much better people. They're two of our good buddies that we've met through the podcast. And so they're going to kill it this week. I got all the confidence in the world in them. So go follow them. And there's a huge crossover between Black Crowes fans and Pearl Jam fans. So
absolutely.
Go give them a follow.
Please do, because Jason and Paul are two great guys, and that State of Love and Trust podcast is fantastic. And they are also doing a listening party for the Dark Matter album, much like we did with the Happiness Bastards. So, you know, now's the time to join up to their Patreon as well if you want to be a part of that early listen to the Dark Matter.
And I'm going to go ahead and tell them, I think I told Jason, we're stealing an idea from them for a future podcast. So just putting it out there, going to give them credit for the idea, but we're going to do an episode.
So their concept was to take a Pearl Jam record and whittle it down to, if it had never been released, take that material and put together an EP. Am I correct in saying that?
Mm-hmm. We're going to do that with Amorica. And then,
blasphemous to some people, I'm sure, but it's just a bit of fun. People don't get take it too seriously.
And then producer Jason is going to pick who has the best EP, and he always picks you. So I'm just kind of like doing it for the heck of it.
You hear the bitterness here, folks. It's that everybody loves David, and he can't stand it when people like me.
Ian.
I know. I'm not like that. I'm just love the one you're with. You know what I'm saying? I'm relaxed.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Yeah, that was a Stephen Stills reference, though. Just so you know.
Speaking of Stephen Stills.
He's the wonderful.
What did your co-host here get you for your birthday?
My co-host got me and told me, though, it did come with a caveat. I had to hear how much it broke his heart to have to do it, but he bought me an official Stephen Stills t-shirt, and it is wonderful, and I love it. Thank you, David.
Went against everything I believe in, Ian, but I did. Actually, I really don't have anything against Stephen Stills. It's just you bring it up so much, I get a lot of joy giving you a hard time about it. So if you're somebody out there is a Stephen Stills fan, I don't really hate him.
I'm going to expose you right now, because on the phone the other day, you told me you don't really like Crosby, Stills, and Nash. So
I have never gotten into them.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I mean, just being honest.
It's that I don't understand. I don't understand. You know, it's
like, I'm not saying they're great musicians. They're amazing musicians. Their vocal harmonies are amazing. I just have never gotten into their music.
It's okay. I'm not here to judge you.
No, I mean, it's fine. I mean, there's bands that I love that people say the same thing about. It's nothing wrong with it.
By bands, you mean Bruce Springsteen, right?
No, I mean,
saying that because, and that's not even to give you a tease. Springsteen, I find just from, you know, since you've listened to him and I've gone back to some of his records and I really do enjoy a lot of his records, but reading things, it seems there is a divisiveness about Bruce Springsteen. People either really love him or really don't. It's like Bob Dylan, you know?
I'll be honest with you. I think one of the reasons there's some divisiveness there is how fervent the fandom is for him.
I mean, I only wish that I could get deeper into Bruce Springsteen, and I'll tell you why. Because the guy puts on like 3-hour concerts. He's very, very fan centric. If you're a fan of him, like, he does right by you.
Deep cuts.
I mean, you could throw plates on the stage with songs written on them, and he might play one. You know, I mean, that's great.
Kevin Marino, he took his sign in L.A. and played.
Did you see? I think it was on social media somewhere. I don't remember. Somebody posted a picture from one of the Crow shows the other night, and somebody had a big banner up that said flesh wound.
If you are out there and that was you, or you know the person that did it, contact stateofamorica@gmail.com or hit us up on social media, because I want to have that person on.
But whoever posted that, the caption on it was, "Looks like David was at the Greek show last night."
Hold on, who put that up? Where is that?
I don't remember. I got to find it.
Well, I saw one that said, "I didn't know there was flesh wound groupies."
I just thought that was great because you are a big proponent of that song. But when I was in the record store and they were playing that record, when that track came on, I was with my wife and I said, "This is a pretty divisive song here." And she said, "Really? I like it." You know, so like, it does have an appeal to folks that maybe necessarily aren't like diehards. And I guess that's the point, really.
Has a big appeal to a guy that has a Black Crowes podcast. But you know what? If you go back and listen to our review, when I said how much I loved it, I said, it's going to be a problem for some people.
It definitely is. To me, that song sounds like REM, very influenced. And somebody pointed out to me, and then I feel this is very accurate, it has a very big Cheap Trick influence on it.
Oh, once people said that, I went, that makes a lot of sense.
It does. I think it's a great tune. Is it characteristic of the Black Crowes? Hell no. But that's what we love about them. They do things out of left field. I think it's great. But what I also think is great, and the reason why we're here this evening, it was just recently a very special member of the Black Crowes universe's 58th birthday on April 13th. So we're here to celebrate that tonight. That's Mr. Mark Ford. And we are going to be doing our top three Mark Ford solo songs. And producer Jason was originally supposed to be with us, but we've had to reschedule this recording a couple of times. So we're going to include his picks tonight.
Do you know the true reason why he's not on here?
Because he doesn't like you.
He loves me. He's locked in a basement somewhere editing away like a madman. He's going to become the Howard Hughes of podcasting. The man takes on so much responsibility. Yeah. And he's getting 4 and 5 ahead on Ridiculous Rock Record Reviews. By the way, check that out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's his OCD that he feels he needs to have a huge buffer on it. I get it.
I appreciate everything he did. And I mean.
Don't make it sound like I don't appreciate your appreciation, because you know I do.
He's one of the smartest things we ever did with this podcast.
Yeah.
And it was your idea. So there,
yeah, that's right. Credit. Yeah. As you heard me taking in the breath to remind you of that. Jason came along at a time when we really needed him with this podcast. And it's so great to have him as the third member. And I'm a little disappointed he's not with us, but it's for good reason, as David mentioned. But so let's start rolling with this, David. What do you say?
Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and admit on the front end, I'm not extremely familiar with Post, Weary, and Wired Mark Ford. I've heard it all, but I don't know it as well as I do the first two albums. So that's a big caveat as to where my picks are coming from. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that all right, Ian? Okay. All right.
Is that all right? No, it's not.
All right. One of my favorite tracks by him is Two Mules in a Rainbow.
Well, it started out happy and soon grew old.
this song to me has, I don't know if you call it a groove or a melody or whatever, that almost gives the feeling of during the verses in the chorus of almost like floating. And he's just kind of like singing on top of it. And one of the things I really appreciate about the first album is he's a gunslinger. Everybody knows he is. Everybody knows he can play lead and plays with feel. He's not in a class of his own, but it doesn't take long to call roll. And so Mark Ford is in that position. He could have come out and released this album and just turned it into a shred fest if he wanted to, just melt faces with it. But what did he do? He went and got a bunch of his buddies to be on there. And a lot of people playing guitar on there that, frankly, is not him. And so, to me, he made this album that showed he's more than one-dimensional. Because there's some different styles on that album that he doesn't necessarily revisit very much from what I can remember on later things. And so, I was just floored when that album came out and just absolutely loved it. And this is what, you know, he doesn't play a whole lot off this album anymore. But this one is one of the ones that gets knocked into the rotation, and it had to be the first one I mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, It's About Time is a fantastic album. And I, if I'm not mistaken, recorded over, you know, a couple of years' time. So he kind of took his time with it, you know, lined up these great guests. I mean, essentially, Two Mules and a Rainbow is Government Mule with Mark Ford. And I think it's interesting that it's Government Mule and the song's Two Mules and a Rainbow, because it is two members of Government Mule.
Interesting, huh?
Yeah.
And well, I one of my great like regrets in life, I passed on Pink Floyd in 94 in New Orleans. And then I was in pharmacy school, and this album had just came out. Mark Ford was playing a small bar in Oxford. And I think I had a test or something and couldn't make it. But hindsight, I wish I'd have gone to it.
Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. I mean, there's also a version of this tune that's on a charity compilation that they did many years later for the Compound Studios that Mark was heavily involved with. And it's Mark Ford doing this with our buddies from the Steepwater Band, and also quite a good version.
Yeah, go to the SOA meetup in Chicago.
No hints or anything.
Yeah.
But so the first pick I want to mention, and I'm going to kind of do this out of order because of something you just said. I picked a track off of his 2014 Holy Ghost album, and that's Dancing Shoes.
Take your dancing shoes and see what you can lose. Maybe you'll find a friend, somebody you can mend. Someone I don't know the score, and he won't hurt no more.
The reason why I skipped this one ahead is because, much to the same point you were making, Holy Ghost is an album that has no guitar pyrotechnics on it at all. It's Mark really being a songwriter and showcasing his songwriting abilities. And out of all the songs on that album, and I really like that album, this one to me always hits me in the feels, as they say. It really is an emotional song, a sad song, and Mark really delivers it to the height of its emotional potential.
So, speaking of Springsteen, I am in no way comparing these two albums to each other as far as, like, you know, content or whatever, but it's his Nebraska. It's stripped down, more heartfelt songs with kind of almost like a lo-fi feel to them. And so to go into this, like you said, kind of singer-songwriter, more stripped down and devoid of guitar heroics, I think is cool. And you could tell when he talked about this album, this was a deeply personal album to him, and he was really proud of it.
Absolutely. I mean, the way it came to be was he was producing a record for a British band called Phantom Limb. And in return, kind of, they became the backing band for the Holy Ghost record. And I don't know if that's what gave that additional element or that took it in that direction, but just a fantastic record. Very, very, very overlooked record. I think sometimes because it doesn't have the guitar gymnastics, you know, and it's more subdued and intimate. But fantastic record, and this is a great song from it.
Well, I'm going to revisit It's About Time, Hell or High Water. Another interesting song there. It's very up-tempo. It's got a nice groove to it, and we've got horns on it. Did you ever think there'd be a Mark Ford album with horns prominent when you got one of the best guitar players of his generation? Again, speaks to the fact that he wasn't scared to let others shine, and he felt like he didn't have to impress people with his guitar.
Yeah, I mean, fantastic song. Great opening track to the album. Mm-hmm. This one actually was part of the Federale project that he did with Luther Russell. It was on that original set of demos. They have much different sound. Once you had those horns in there, it really gives it a full kind of like mid-70s Stones kind of feel to it almost. It's a great tune. I've always loved this tune.
Which may have been what he was going for.
Probably.
But it's also a much bigger sound than what you would think would be on a Mark Ford debut album.
Yeah, and to my knowledge, the only solo song of his that includes horns in any capacity.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, David, I'm going to make you happy on this next one because my next pick comes from the Weary and Wired record. And that is an instrumental tune that Mark must play at every show since Greasy Chicken.
First of all, that's a Hall of Fame name for a song.
It is. And makes us look like two dicks right now because this song has horns on it also. I just realized that.
Hey, what do we know, man? Roll with it.
I know. Hey, it's fine.
Don't bring facts into this argument.
I'm sorry. Another great use of horns, but I always like this, even without horns when he plays it live, you know, in his solo shows. It's just a cool groove. And on the record, the first solo that he plays is like mind-bending to me. It's so great.
He's Mark Ford, man.
I know, but sometimes instrumentals, like that's why I never really got wholly into like Steve Vai or Joe Satriani and stuff like that. Because the instrumentals, yes, they sound good, but they don't really stick to your memory. Whereas Mark can do an instrumental that is just as catchy as something that has a vocal on top of it, you know?
They have to be really, really good for me to go back to them. Doesn't mean I can't listen to them one time ago. That was amazing. Like Orion by Metallica. great song. I can't sit and listen to that over and over again. Thorn's Progress, on the other hand, I can.
Right. I mean, but there's also like Eric Johnson has a song called Cliffs of Dover. Very catchy, though. It has that hook in it that you remember. And that's, you know, that's great. And that's kind of like what Mark achieves here with Greasy Chicken. Fantastic tune.
Yeah. All right. So good picks by both of us so far, in my opinion. My last one is off Weary and Wired. And this to me is a song that really kind of encapsulates Mark Ford as a guitar player. And that's Smoke Signals. It's just got that dirty kind of vibe to it. I love the tone he's using. I think that's a great tempo for him to showcase his playing because he doesn't play really fast. And this is kind of a mid-tempo song. And when I listened to that album, like I remember listening to it the first time through, and this is the one I immediately went back to the first time. But I just love the tone he gets with it. You know, everybody knows he's influenced by Neil Young, but this has a little bit of a Crazy Horse sounding vibe to it.
I would definitely agree with that, and this is one of the highlights of that record.
And isn't this essentially a Burning Tree album?
Yeah, Weary and Wired is essentially a Burning Tree reunion album because Muddy's on bass and Donnie Gray is on drums, and they both do fantastic at this, because in the verses on this, there's a lot of room to breathe. It's really only bass and drums while Mark is singing a lot of the time, or he plays very sparsely, and you know, Muddy really holds it down on this. But such a great song. My only one complaint about this song is occasionally I find that the blowing through this town lyric repeats like one too many times, you know what I mean? It goes a little long, but you know, that's a very, very minor complaint. So my next pick, my last pick, comes from a record that I've been very open and honest about how much I love it. And that's the Fuzz Machine record, and this is My Love. I've mentioned this before, and I'll say it again.
It's his best love, solo.
What?
It's his best solo.
You know, you're 100% right. It is. It's one of his best solos anyway. It's certainly from his solo catalog, his best guitar solo. It's. I believe I likened it to the power of the Sometimes Salvation solo.
The solo, to some extent, reminds me of that No Need to Suffer play out solo on the Government Mule album.
I never thought of that. That is very similar to that.
Life Before Insanity, which is to me one of my favorite Warren Haynes solos. But I hadn't listened to this album a lot. And we did another perfect album side podcast we did on here about, and you said that. And I remember sitting in my driveway one night, just relaxing in a chair. And I played that and I was like, holy cow, now I know why Ian loves this song so much. It's amazing.
Yeah, it just, that solo, it's like a very, very slow burn leading up to it. And then he just, that's Mark giving everything he's got into that solo. Everything. You feel it. When Mark is on, he's on. And when he hits something with that emotion coming through his fingers, it's second to none. Well, before we wrap up, David, we do need to go through producer Jason's picks, because he had a couple of good ones too. His first one was another song that actually this nearly made my top three list also. It's from the Fuzz Machine album. It's called The Way It Goes.
That's a top 10 Mark Ford track. I love the melody on it.
Well, Jason, because he sent me a few notes on his picks, he particularly liked this one because of the Mark just commands feedback and the, as he refers to it, the fuzziness to do his will. And Mark is the master of, like, the album is called Fuzz Machine for a reason. Like, Mark was really into that, like, fuzzy, distorted sound. And he can manipulate feedback very, very well. Like, he is like the fuzz master, you know. So
absolutely.
And I understand why he got caught up in that, because he's so good at it. But great tune, no dispute in that. Another one Jason picked is from your particular favorite album, David, the Weary and Wired album, and it's a song called Thousand Ways.
Great tune.
There's a thousand ways to quit you, thousand ways to make you leave. I still know your name with blood on my sleeve. Your heart is a dangerous thing. There's a thousand ways to quit you, thousand ways to make you leave.
This is a great tune, and I don't know, I didn't have an opportunity to speak to Jason about it. This song is actually co-written by Elijah Ford, and I remember when I interviewed Mark for Hitting the Note magazine at the time this record was about to come out, he was telling me about this track, and he was going through his house one day, and he heard Elijah playing it in his room, and he said, that's a great riff, you know, we got to turn that into something. That's how it became the song, and it is a really great riff. Which, you know, Jason mentions that he likes the fact that it's a real funky kind of riff, and then it goes into a mellow chorus. He really appreciated the dynamic of that, which is true. Kind of an underappreciated song on that record, wouldn't you say?
I think that record is undervalued at times.
Hmm.
It still doesn't get, it's kind of like It's About Time. Doesn't see a lot of play in his sets anymore.
Now he has kind of passed some of those tunes by for whatever reason. I mean, obviously, like I mentioned, Greasy Chicken gets played, but other than that, It's sporadic when you hear a tune from the Weary and Wired record.
Yeah, and I was so excited when that one came out. The like Featherweight Dreamland, I love. Dirty Girl, I love. Just Take the Money is a good song.
Definitely. It's I encourage anybody to go back and revisit that record if you haven't heard it in a while and remember how good it is. Now, Jason, being the consummate OCD man that he is, I feel intentionally picked this song so that every one of Mark's albums were represented. But this comes from the album The Vulture, which has a lot of great tunes on it. And this is one of them. This is Ghetto Is Everywhere.
Eyes on every window, stop, I need a coat of paint. Police always in your grill, man, except when you need one, then they ain't. I ain't trying to get to heaven, just looking for some peace. Hope I ain't gotta die to make it. But if I do, Lord, take me, please. And I went up. Ghettos everywhere.
Yeah, it's a fantastic tune. As he mentions, it feels kind of loose and jammy, and it is. That whole record is kind of loose and jammy, really. They went up to a studio in San Francisco, I believe, and kind of cut that in a couple of days. And, you know, it's got, when he was in Magpie, he played The Vulture. He played a lot of stuff from this record, like when it was his time to sing a track. And, you know, this is one that made an appearance here and there. It's just, there's a lot of really cool guitar fills on this one, as Jason also mentions. And I think it's a good representation of what that record was all about.
Definitely one of his better albums, put it out later in his career. You always got to respect that.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, Devil's in the Details on this record, and there's a lot of great material on this record. And honestly, I don't know why I didn't tap into it for my top three, but there was just some other tracks that streaked ahead of it, but that's not the discount.
Shalimar Dreams is great.
Yeah, and there's two versions of that, too. There's one that was pre The Vulture that Mark just put out as a single through Bandcamp, and a lot of people haven't heard that one, but it's equally as good. A little slightly different, but equally as good. But I don't know, it was fun. I just wanted to kind of honor Mark Ford a bit because we hadn't had any Mark Ford heavy conversations, and in honor of his birthday, I thought it was just fitting. The man is a highly underrated and underappreciated guitar player outside of the Black Crowes universe, and
not by musicians.
I just wish that would change, though. He needs to be in many, many more conversations about the greatest guitarist of all time.
I couldn't agree more, but he's out on tour with Lucinda Williams. By all accounts, he's doing great and is having a blast.
Yeah, and I had a blast running down these songs with you, my friend. It's always good to see you and chat with you. I believe you mentioned we're going to do a double play out. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm going to go completely off script here, but I think people will love it. Mark Ford with Government Mule playing Cortez the Killer.
Fantastic. I like that pick. And I'm actually going to tap into the cover of Neil Young's L.A. All right, everybody. We appreciate you enjoying us, and we will see you next time. Let's turn it over to Jason.
Stay tall, everyone.
In a matter of time, you meet a friend of mine. Gonna come to the coast, gonna see him up close for a minute or two. By the look in your eyes, you think that it was
was a surprise. Seemed to forget something somebody said about bubbles in the sea. An ocean full of trees and you now. Yeah, they. Uptight city in the small, city in the small. Don't you wish that you could be here too? Don't you wish that you could be here too? Don't you wish that you could be here too? Well, it's hard to believe, so you get up to leave. To laugh at the door, cause you heard it all before. Oh, it's so good to know. It's all just a show for you. When the suppers are planned and the freeways are jammed, the mountains erupt, and Sally is sucked in the cracks. City in the small, city in the small. Don't you wish that you could be here too? Don't you wish that you could be here too? Don't you wish that you could be here too?
Don't you wish that you could be here too? Just us. Happy New Year, guys. Mark Ford on the guitar. Bernie Worrell on the keyboards. Thank you for coming out this New Year's Eve. We appreciate you. Thank you very much.
God bless you. 1999. Thank you.